Gather together, another day drawn closer, O Lord, Father, to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we approach thy word today now, Lord, concerning the Feast of Trumpets, we pray, Father, that our spirit, O Lord, be lifted up in this hour right now, because we are seeing, Lord, the day drawn so close to this very day, when the Feast of Trumpet will be celebrated, O Father, by your people, chosen people, Israel, Lord. And we know, Father, when you send your only begotten Son to them as the Messiah, then, Lord, we know that the Gentile church, the time is over for the age. And there will be a people, Father, to be taken away with you. And we thank you, Lord, for this time now that we approach thy word. Break down thy word to our understanding, Lord. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
All right, the Sun Feast of Jehovah. And we already covered the first four, as we all know. And the first four, when it was fulfilled, when they were fulfilled, they were all reflecting the spiritual side. Concerning the Ecclesiastes, that Christ came to redeem a people. And on the next three feasts that we have, there's no reflection on the spiritual side as concerning the church, but rather for the nation of Israel, that they might come to the realization of the Messiah and for them to be a spiritual people, not just looking for the kingdom of Israel on this earth. Alright, so as I said, we know that the first 6 months of the year of Israel's calendar, God dealt with them on the religious side, whereas the next the rest of the 6 months of the year, the later part of it, from first Tishri, the month of Tishri, right to the end, it deals with the children of Israel as secular or civil, alright, the natural kingdom of people. Now we're coming to the Feast of Trumpets. Now let's go to this book of Leviticus again, and we'll read this chapter here, the next four verses, or three verses, Leviticus chapter 23, right? Chapter 23, verse 23 to 25. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the Sabbath month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So in the Sabbath month, the first day of the month. Alright, look at calendar again, so I just want to refresh your mind. Okay, here we have a topic is Abib or Nisan. Alright, where the Passover took place, and here on the 5th of Sivan we had Pentecost. So from the day of Pentecost all the way until this first of Tishri month is 120 days. Alright? From all the way here from Pentecost. Remember Pentecost to the first of Tishri, the Feast of Trumpet is 120 days. The significance. So we are in this period right now of the present intervals, and we are very nearing almost to this very day of the first of Tishri. Alright, and the first of Tishri today, of course, in the Hebrew it is called Rosh Hashanah, and the Feast of Trumpet. Okay, now we know that the first four feasts is passed in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. All of these are the seven feasts of Jehovah described. Okay, so now the Feast of Trumpet is the first of the last three feasts. Let us go to Numbers 10, verse 2 to 10. We already read here in Leviticus verse 24, you shall have a Sabbath and the blowing of trumpets. And I want to let you know what kind of trumpet it is. Now when the Bible uses the word trumpet, we want to know what kind of trumpet they are using. Because when you say trump, it can be a sofa. A sofa is the one that you see on the table outside. The ram horn. Okay, alright? But the Bible here says the blowing of trumpets, which is plural right here. So we want to know what kind of trumpet is being used. So we go to Numbers chapter 10 and verse 2 to verse 2 to 10. Let me just get it. Chapter 10 verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make, that they may be used for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camp. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to you at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto you. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that be on the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camp that is on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. And when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the son of Aaron, the priest, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generation. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppress you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with a trumpet over your burnt offering, and over the sacrifices of your peace offering, that they may be to you a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. So now here we have, it says, silver trumpet. Got it? Okay. And when you read this whole passage, what do you see? How would the trumpet use, actually? Okay, let us look at it. Verse 2 says, you use them in the calling of the assembly. So number one, there are purpose for the use of trumpets, with these silver trumpets. So number one, it is the calling of the assembly. And that's why we can understand when you look at this, how that in the New Testament you see what Paul said about the last trump. Okay? We'll leave that for now. Okay, and then the next one it says, verse 2 onward, the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camp. And that is the second part. For the journeying of the camp. And it says that when you blow with them, all the assemblies are gathered themselves to you at the door of the tabernacle. Verse 4, if they blow but only one trumpet, then the princes, the leader of the tribe, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto you. So if you blow only one trumpet, one trumpet is you, that means that will be a signal, a call for the princes of the thousands of all these tribes to gather to you. Verse 5, when you blow an alarm, then the camp shall that lie on the east side shall go forward. What is an alarm? When you blow a trumpet, you just boom, just a straight sound. Alright? And if the, you know, a trumpet is not like the one that you know has a bugle kind of, you know, where you can pump the air with different sound. So they have to use their lips to blow high note, low note, some kind of signal. So now when you blow an alarm, this alarm here is translated as
sound like we will say maybe like modern day what we will say ta 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 ta, that sort of thing. You understand? Means it is not a constant sound. It's an alarming sound. You know what I mean? Like what people make a lot of noise, da 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 da, that sort of sound. So it's an alarm sound. So that when you sound that alarm, an alarm, he didn't say, you know, a specific alarm, an alarm means there are certain specific kind of notes. Okay, and when you do that, then the camp that is on the east side shall go forward. Now we look at the encampment chart, and so they give you an idea how they march. Okay? Alright, if you look at this encampment right here, the Israel, when they encamp in the wilderness, here we have the tabernacle. This is on the east side. That's west, north, and south. Alright, now the Bible tells us that in the book of Numbers chapter 2, that this is the way, this was the way that the different tribes, the 12 tribes, camp around the tabernacle. And this is where the priests and Moses camp, just on the surround the tabernacle. And the tribes are on the outside. On the eastern side, you have Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. And the south side, Reuben, Simeon, Gad, and so on. Alright? All in the camp. Now, we do not know, the Bible never specified how the camp actually looked like. Some put it this way, okay? Some put it, well, you know, like Zebulun, Issachar, Judah. You know what I mean? In this way, instead of horizontal, they put it vertical, which I think vertical is not correct. Because every of this tribe must face inward. So if you put Judah on the extreme far end, they are not facing the tabernacle. So I believe this is more accurate. You understand? Okay. So now the Bible here says that when you put an alarm, then the camp that is on the east side shall go forward. And the first to go move forward will be Judah. Judah will always be the head, because Judah is the tribe where Christ came from. You understand? The line of the tribe of Judah. So you will be always be the leader, the head. Okay, so these all will move forward. Then Issachar, then Zebulun, all lining up to move as they make their journey. Then it says in verse 6, when you blow an alarm the second time, then the camp that lies on the south side shall make their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journey. So there's another sound. Then this south side will follow after the one, the first group that move. Okay, they are much in order. Now, didn't tell us about the rest, but after that is the west and the north. Now, you know how important east is to God? Why the tabernacle entrance faces? Why? I think you all should know by now. You have been learning it, so you understand. Okay, the entrance face is because that's where the rising of the sun is. And that's where the sun of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wing. And shall enter into that, what they call the temple. That time is the tabernacle, then become the temple where Christ will come back to Israel. And he will enter and sit in that throne. Do you understand that? So he's always facing east. Okay? And so Judah will go first. Alright. And then follow by Issachar, Zebulun, and the west, then south side, then the west side, and then the north side. Okay? And then it says, verse 7. Now remember that when they blow this alarm, they are all traveling in an orderly manner. Okay? Not haphazardly, huh? Not you just blow and everybody just run wild, don't know where to go. No, everybody have an order. You must remember that. So the silver trumpet, it called for an assembly, and the blowing will also cause them how to journey of the group, of the camp. So remember, we are also on a pilgrim journey. And we all know, we need to know how that we are moving. Okay. Alright, then it says right here, verse 7, when the congregation is together together, you shall blow, but do not sound an alarm. So when the congregation is gathered together, you don't sound an alarm. Okay, when they come to meet you. But when you want to march, there is a certain alarm sound. It means a certain specific sound. Verse 8, and the son of Aaron, the priest, shall blow with the trumpets, and the other one, they blow the trumpets. Nobody else.
Alright? Only the son of Aaron. And they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generation. And if you go to war, verse 9. So now the trumpet is being blown. That is the third use of the trumpet. If you go to war in your land against the enemy, they oppress you. When you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Verse 10. And in the days of your gladness, your solemn feasts, your feasts, and in the beginning of your months, every month, you shall blow with the trumpet over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifice of your peace offerings. So now, when you sacrifice to the Lord in your feast, blow your trumpet. You know what I mean? You know what people say? You're blowing your own trumpet. You know what I'm saying now? It means that you show a big thing all by yourself. So God wants you to blow a trumpet to show your big thing that I'm with you. You are the children of Israel. Huh? Now, do you think that Israel blow the horn, blow their trumpet today? You bet. Israel is blowing her trumpet today. Over the whole world, whole nations of the world. They are watching Israel. Even right now, what's going on in Israel? The war will soon come. Israel is not deterred. You understand that? Okay? Now, and the last part is, you blow for a memorial before God. It will be remembered as a memorial. So that you will remember what God did for you. So whenever they blow the horn, is that they remember what God did for them. So, when you talk about the silver trumpet, what does silver represent? Let's go to the book of Psalm chapter 12. I'm laying this out for you now. Psalm chapter 12. Everything in the Bible has a meaning. Yesterday I was looking, you know. Well, I was just, I don't know, just studying, and then I was Googling for something, and then I was led into the Dead Sea Scroll. You heard about Dead Sea Scroll? It was back in the before 1948 or something. It was discovered. Not just the scroll of Isaiah, but a whole lot of other scrolls. So it was a big talk about the hullabaloo at those days. And then you found out later on that there are so many other scrolls. And there was this man I don't know how I get to this fellow's website, a whole lot of articles on it. And he said that I was raised a religious person. He was in America. I raised up as a religious person to believe in Christianity, you know. But then when I grow older, I want to find out how true this is. And now he became a non-believer. He says everything about Jesus Christ is all a fake. You know, it's all a lot of things that is not true. You see, and he talked about the Trinity as being, you know, pagan doctrine and all of this stuff. Trinity, of course, Trinity is a pagan doctrine. Which we all know that. But we don't believe in the Trinity. Of course, Christianity believe in the Trinity because it's started by the Catholic Church. And then he said about all these other scrolls. He said there's a lot of scrolls about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was a leader of a cult, you know, belonged to the Eastern group, and how that, you know, they say he was a rebel and all this. I mean, you are looking at all this thing, you know, people like all kinds of stories. You know. And that's why you cannot trust any other books except this book. Huh? This has been verified, has been well authenticated by God, and even authenticated by science numerically. You understand that? And I was watching one documentary about mathematics. How accurate is mathematics? Math is a numbers. It's all about numbers. And you cannot deny numbers. Right? And what is out there in nature, what is out there in the universe, everything has a pattern, and science are discovering it. And all those patterns are right here in the Bible. You cannot deny this. See, but you got to look at other history, other people say about Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus Christ was just a rebel. He's a leader of a cult. Huh? And even says that Jesus Christ did not find Christ.
was not the founder of Christianity, it was Paul. Paul was not the founder of Christianity. You see, and all sorts of things, you know, and of course, some of these people are so brainwashed by that. And I saw a video last night about a place in Brazil, talking about how wide is the circumference of hell. And they were trying to measure the circumference of hell. And this guy went over there to Brazil and found a woman, you know, then how did this lady, I think probably she looked, it's a video of her, and she looked like she's about 90 years old, you know, going to a place where she worshipped. And this man followed him, and what did he see? All nothing but skulls, all piles of skulls, and then she prayed for the saints up there, for the mother, all this about purgatory. So this person who talked about this documentary, he says purgatory is hell, and it was created by the Catholic Church to give people a chance that there's a second chance. You know, if you make it to heaven, you couldn't have it, otherwise you go and die in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. So this poor old man, woman go there, mumbo jumbo, and Santa Maria and all that thing. And you know, you pity that, because they all think they're superstitious. Huh? We people, God give us a mind to be logical. So this Bible is a book that is logical. And you cannot deny, you can sit down and discuss this book logically. Huh? And you make sense. But if you want to take any other books and talk about it, you're going to make yourself a bunch of, you know, you create a lot of nonsense in your head, a lot of confusion, because people have ideas out there. If the Bible is true, then it speaks the truth, and that's it. Right? So let us go to Psalms now. Chapter 12. Psalms chapter 12 and verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. So, silver represents the pure word of God. Alright. Let us go to Zechariah 11, verse 12. And I say unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weigh for my price, how many pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver. And who was the man who was sold for 30 pieces of silver? Jesus Christ. And who was Jesus Christ? He was the Word of God make flesh. So he was silver. He was the Word. Alright, go to Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will bear them, and I will say, this is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. So now here we have silver, and we have gold. So what is gold? You know, Abraham was tried as gold is being tried. And what did Jesus say in the book of Revelation? Buy me of gold tried in the fire. Huh? So, when you look at this silver and gold, let me just put it in this way. The written word of God is silver. Okay. The revelation, the logos of it, is gold. You got it? People say, yeah, I have the word of God to carry the Bible to church. Huh? Yeah, this is silver. What is more valuable? Gold. Right? Gold is more valuable than silver, of course. So if you have the written word, that's all you have. You can read it, you can read that, but if you don't get the revelation of it, you're not getting the gold. So let me put it this way, it's golden treasure in silver box. Got it? The revelation from the written word, inside the written word, is buried inside the written word. That's why the Pharisees and the oral scribes said, yeah, we have Abraham as a father, we have the prophet and all this. Jesus said, if you know them, you will know who I am. For in the volume of book, it is written of me. You have the revelation of me. and I am the word made manifest, but you have a revelation of me. You can have silver words, but you may not have golden treasures. How important is that? Golden treasure to be able to see. Okay? Alright. Let's go to the book of John 4:35. Because we want to remember that the space between Pentecost to Tishrei, the first, is 120 days or 119 days. But from that to the first of Tishrei, on that very day of Tishrei, is 120 days. So let's see what Jesus said right here in the book of John chapter 4 and verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Before us, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. Did I get a point right here? Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit came, right? You understand that? The field is ready to harvest. Don't wait until 4 months, then you say, it will right, then you will harvest. Now, is it a coincidence for God, for Christ to say that? When you look at this feast, let us look at the chart again. So give you an impression, an image. Pentecost here, the trumpet is here. 119 days, 120th day. We know that when Pentecost came and the gospel preached, the children of Israel, after a while, rejected them. Is that right? But you always remember that Jesus Christ came not to call the Gentiles. He did not come to seek the Gentiles. He came to seek the lordship of the house of Israel, the Jewish people, his people. We are all dogs. Do you understand that? So now, when we look at it here, the gospel is here, right here, Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down to give them light. Right? Say yet not 4 months, then come out the harvest. The space here, 120, is 4 months. Is my math wrong? 120 by 30 is 4 months, right? 4 months. So Jesus Christ, look at them here. It seems that Christ has to wait for 4 months so that he could turn and go back to Israel on the first of Tishrei to call them to hear the two trumpets being blown. Say you're not 4 months. Remember this, because we'll come back to that later for something for you to think about. Alright? Now in the feast that we have, when we talk about Tishrei, as you read in verse 24, let's go to 24 of Leviticus again. Chapter 23, verse 24 again. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So, the first of Tishrei is a Sabbath. Okay? And now remember, Sabbath is an important thing in God's life. Because Sabbath is not a day. Before there was ever any creation, the Spirit is all by himself. And he was always in rest. So then, after that, God created the heavens and the earth. And then after that, creation, he rests. So there is creation Sabbath. Then we have the 6 day you work, the 7 day you rest. So that is the law Sabbath. It was given by God to Moses to the children of Israel. 6 days you work, and the 7th you rest. Then after that you have the festival Sabbath. And this is one of those. Every festival it practically is a rest. Even the Day of Atonement is a day when they fast to atone for their sin. Okay? So how important is
is the rest of God. And remember here, this is the seventh month. 6 days already passed. 6 months already passed. Then came the seventh month. And the first of that seventh month is the rest. So God is going back to Israel in the month of Tishri to call them home to give them the rest. After 4 months from their Pentecost. So you see the type and the shadow. Say not yet 4 months, then come out the harvest. But it seems to be that way. Alright? So now let's go to the book of the important of this supper, the blowing of the memorial of trumpets, Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16 to 19. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet. Now, when you said about the voice of the trumpet, here we're talking about the trumpets, right? What about trumpets now? What's so important about the trumpet? When we talk about the trumpet, if you are not, well, I don't know whether this modern day American soldiers they only do this blowing of the bugle, huh? In the morning and on night or when someone died. But other than that, I don't think they do that in wartime. But if you go back to the day of the early Americans, when they were there in North America, the cavalry, they go to war. Now all of the person who blow the bugle, he's trained to blow a bigger sudden sound. Alright, to call the soldier get up in the morning, how did you get up? A sound is blown, the sudden sound, what they're supposed to know, what they're supposed to do when you heard that sound. And then, of course, the sound at night, you go to bed, and also when somebody died, and so on, or when they charge in the war. Okay? So you all know that, right? So now, there is a sudden sound. So if you are not in the army, you do not know what sounds that represent. I think you also know that, right? It's just a sound. It may be ta-ta-ta-ta or ta or whatever sound it's being blown. So the bugle must have a certain sound. So when you have a certain sound, what does it tell you? That it means it's a certain voice. It's giving you a message. That's why the Bible used the word voice. A message. So when you read this here, in this verse of Exodus, in verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thundering and lightning, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of trumpet exceeding loud, so that the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the middle part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on the smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. The smoke thereof, of course, there cannot be smoke without fire. So whenever you see God coming down in the form of smoke, there must be fire somewhere around. Okay? And the smoke thereof ascended as smoke of a furnace, and the whole mouth quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. So, the people heard this voice of a trumpet. Now, I mean, God's definitely not blowing a trumpet. You know what I mean? Whatever activity there is out there on Mount Zion, when God comes down, there must be an angel all around. So whatever the activity is, the lightning and the thundering, you know, and it was such a terrible sound to the children of Israel, it was like a trumpet too loud blowing. And they trembled because they only heard that, whatever sound that they hear. But to Moses heard the voice of God. You get it? You see? That's the reason why in these last days, when you hear the seventh angel sound this message, people are not hearing it. What do they hear? What do the people out there hear? What do the people in this denomination, what do they hear? When they come to hear about the message, they hear all kinds of things, huh? Is that not true? All kinds of interpretation, all kinds of sound. You see. But to the elect, they will hear the voice of God. That's how important that really is. To the people at Mount Sinai, hearing the trumpet sound, it's a lot of howl, noise and loud. But to Moses, he heard the voice of God. Okay, so let's go to Matthew now, chapter 24. And verse 31. And he shall gather his angel with a great sound of a trumpet, and he shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, these portions of Matthew 24:31 is the end in the tribulation period and after. Alright? It talks about how that God's people will be gathered together. All the children of Israel will be gathered together. Now again it says a sound of a trumpet. It's always using a trumpet. Trumpet, as we already know, one reason it's being used is the calling of the assembly. Okay? The calling of the assembly. Alright. With that, let us go to Judges chapter 3 verse 27. Judges 3:27. And it came to pass when he was come that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he with them. So he gathered a nation together. Again, here is an example. And there we go, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 18. Here we have the alert against the enemy. Chapter 4, verse 18. For the builders, everyone. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 18. Yes. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so built. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. So the one that holds the trumpet has to be ready to blow the trumpet when there is an enemy attack. Verse 20, in what place thereof, therefore, you hear the sound of a trumpet? Resort you hither unto us, for God shall fight for us. So when you hear the sound of a trumpet, you gather and come together. And then we have 1 Kings. Now 1 Kings here, it shows a trumpet used to herald an awakening. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 34. Alright, 34 to 41. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. And go ye with the trumpet. Say, God save King Solomon. And you shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my thrones, for he shall be king in my stead. I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And Benal, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, Amen. The Lord God of my Lord the king says so too. As the Lord hath seen, there has been with my Lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, and Manal the king of the son of Jehoiada, and Kiriathite and Piratite, and went down and caused Solomon to write upon King David's mule, and brought him up to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save the king. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it, as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of trumpet, he said,
Wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? So now they Herod the king, when they anoint kings, or Solomon as king. So this is awakening. Now they have a king. So remember that when Jesus calls back to Israel, they Herod the coming of their own king. Alright, so we go to First Chronicles. Alright, First Chronicle. And here we have First Chronicle chapter 13, verse 8. Here is a religious event being held. Alright. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psaltery, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpet. So when they have the king, or when they bring the ark into Jerusalem, which of course is representing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, they were healed. Alright. Okay, and dance, and make a lot of noise. And then also in Nehemiah chapter 12, and verse 35 to 41. Here, what trumpets are used in worship. Alright, chapter 12, verse 35. And the servant of the priest sang with a trumpet, namely Zerachiah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the son of Mataniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakut, the son of Ashab, and his brethren Shemael and Azariah, Milai and Galilai, kind of hard to pronounce all the Jewish name, and Mai, Nathaniel and Judah and Hanani with the musical instrument of David, the man of God, and Israel, the scribe before them. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, they went up by the stairs of the city of David, at the going up the well of the wall above the house of David, even unto the water gate eastward. The other company of them they give thanks, and went over against them, and I after them, and the half of the people upon the wall, from beyond the tower of furnace, even unto the broad wall, and from above the gate of Ephron's, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananiel, and the tower of Miah, even unto the ship gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. So they stood, the two company of them, to give thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the ruler with me. And the priest, Eliakim, myself, Miniamni, Mikael, Eleonali, Zechariah, and Hananiah with trumpets. So, they all stand where they are, and everybody blow a trumpet and worship the Lord. So, this event that we are looking at, the Feast of Trumpet, when the Lord Jesus Christ would turn away from the Gentiles and go back to Israel, will be a very big event. How big will be the event? You know what the Bible said? When the people of Israel say, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, looking for the day of the Lord, what did the Bible say? The day of the Lord is also a dreadful day. Not only a day of joy, a great day, but it will also be a dreadful day. See, when the Lord turned and go back to Israel and deal with Israel for another 7 years. Yeah? Just imagine. So what event is going to happen? We'll get on going now, just see a few more. Isaiah 18. It's all about the trumpet. And we have verse 3. All you inhabitants of the world and dweller on earth, see you when he lifted up his an ensign on the mountains, and when he blow a trumpet, hear you. Interesting, isn't it? This is not talking just about to the children of Israel. It's talking about all the inhabitants of the world. Right? Huh? So he says that when you see, he lifted up an ensign on the mountain, and when he hear, blow a trumpet, you better hear. I mean, that's not for us. By the time we are gone, I pray every one of us will be gone. Alright, and then you go right down to verse 7. In that time shall the pleasant be brought unto the Lord of hosts, of a people that is scattered, pilled, and for a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden underfoot, who slain the rivers that have spoiled to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion. I think that day comes, God is going to call our attention to the whole world. Because something is going to happen concerning these people that has been trodden down, bitten out, scattered. And it all happened on what mountain? Mount Zion. That day is coming. Isaiah 27. Now see what God said here when he deal with the children of Israel. Verse 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of river unto the stream of Egypt. And you shall be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Syria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain of Jerusalem. Interesting, right? The word here, word gather, and you shall gather one by one. The word gather here is from the Hebrew word glean. Glean. Remember what Moses wrote in the book of Leviticus? So when you come into the land, okay, when you have the harvest, do not take all the crops, right? Even in the corner, just leave it for the poor and the stranger. Remember? So that they may glean. So that is where it is. That means the few that are out there. Now all Israel are Israel. Y'all remember, don't you? Not Israel. Not all Israel are Israel. Because some Israel are bad Israel. Some are a whole lot of bad Jews today as well. All they think about is making money. Right? They are very money-minded. You know. But God is going to gather one by one. This gather means He's gleaning. So when you glean the field, you know, you see a stalk here, a stalk there, because there's no whole bunch of stalk that you can just simply cut. You all know that, huh? Glean is to glean whatever is left. Pick it up, whatever is scattered here and there. And that's why the children of Israel are being scattered. Now we know the children of Israel, but right now in Israel, I think there's about less than 6 million people out there in Israel. What happened to all the rest of the Jews? They're still out there in the world. Lots of them in America. All they think about is money. Of course, they send money to help those in Israel fight the war and so on. But there are Jews out there in India, in China, in Africa and so on. You know. But God is only getting those that are His elect. Remember that. Zechariah, chapter 10. Verse 8, 9, 10. I will hiss. Wow, that sounds. What do you mean by hiss? You think that like a serpent hiss. Huh? But you know, actually, when you ever want a fear, and if you ever hear a snake walk past beside you, going to hiss, you'll be alarmed. You will draw your attention. People were, you know, in America when they want to fear, and then you get the rattlesnake. They'll be alarmed. You know, because those sounds. So God says, I will hiss for them. Means I will cause them to be aware. you know. Okay? And gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of Assyria, and bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. Lebanon. When we talk about Lebanon, it don't mean the nation of Lebanon, huh? Those are just a land. Okay? That's where now Brother Pierre lives there. It don't belong to him. Alright? So, these are the things that we know. So, a trumpet. The trumpet of God is the call of God, is the gathering of God's people. Simple. Always remember this. The trumpet of God is the call of God, is the gathering of God's people. So now let's go again to Isaiah 49. Isaiah chapter 49. And we'll see here in verse 14 to 16. See what a God forsaken Israel. And Zion said, the Lord hath forgotten me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Now, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of a womb? Yea, that they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Isaiah said, God has forgotten me. And God says, can a mother who have a little baby who is still suckling forget about a child? Yeah, a woman may do that, but not me. And we know that some women just throw the child away, but not me. I want you to remember, go to Jeremiah. Because this is the verse that I was trying to recollect last Sunday. Jeremiah. Chapter 31. All right. And verse 35 to 37. Thus saith the Lord, which gave the sun for the light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for the light by night, which divide the sea when the wave thereof roll. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth search out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. You know, recently I read the scientists say they are trying to weigh out how heavy is the universe. And this is what God is trying to say. If heaven above can be measured, they're trying to measure the weight. And they say that the sun, the weight of the sun is point, I don't know, 90 or 10 zero ends with a 1. 0.00001. How do they know? It's all gasabuta. To me, it's all a whole lot of theory, guesswork. You know what I mean? And even all the things that they were saying about certain creatures, they are so many millions of years old and all this, so rubbish. The only thing I know is only math can be accurate, but not the estimation of a bone. That is rubbish. When they said that the whole universe was created 4.3 billion years ago, and the whole and the earth was created 4.6 million years ago, that one I can believe. Because that is mathematics, physics, all this, shoot it down, all that. But when it comes to take a piece of bone, this bone, you know what, I take a piece of rock on the earth, and I tell this rock, any rock in Singapore, you can pick it up. And you can say this earth is 4.6 million. Of course. Is it not true? Because this is how old the earth is? Every other thing is all nonsense. A whole lot of theory are just not scriptural. Doesn't make sense. Do you understand that, don't you?
Yes.
So, when you look at this, God says, if my ordinances It's not maintained. It's gone. Then Israel is forgotten. That is to say the other way around. If ever I can forget Israel, then I will cease to exist even. Because you know why? Because God's promise can never be made void. It cannot be made void. Because the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. You see? So he is faithful to his word. If Israel is his people, that's why when you watch that video just now, 6 days war, what did the whole nation do when he go and ask America for help? Ask the whole nation for help. These people, what did they do? They stay neutral. And they told even Israel not to fight. They have no choice. And you know why? God don't need those nations. Because he wants to show the whole world that I am with Israel. And the Bible already said, when you go up to war, I will fight for you. It's not the nation that's going to fight for you. I will fight for you. Is it a miracle after miracle? Is it a coincidence? Or was God's hand working? In the space of 1 hour, when the Egyptians ground the plane to service, and those leaders of the world were flying the plane because and they told the Egyptians, don't fire any because we're in the plane, of course. They're all cowards, they're all fear of death. And that's when, well, you can say providence. We call it miracles. We call it Yahweh, who was with Israel. If Israel don't make them, whatever decision that they have made at the cabinet, it was God motivating them to go and do it. You see? And God fought for them. Only whom? How many died in the plane? Only one plane was shot down. You see? And all, you know, look at NASA. I mean, NASA, what's the name of Gamma? Nasir. He like Egyptian Pharaoh. God hardened his heart. Remind you of him? Yeah. Just like Pharaoh. So the Bible actually said, it is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. I don't need the allies. God don't need any allies. Israel don't need any allies. Look at what is happening today. America is just telling all Israel not to do this, not to do that, right? Right? And nothing is, try not to go into war. Because once there's war, there's a lot of death. There'll be a lot of collateral damage, you must say. In the 6 days war, when they know that war is coming, they even dig holes to prepare for mass burial. But it didn't happen. Who's not scared? If all our neighbors around here, all of a sudden they want to turn against Singapore, we are all going to die. We're going to dig our own grave. You know? And Israel, we only 2.5 million people at that time with all those millions of anti-Semitic, you know, and all those Islamic nations, they are just hate, full of hate for Israel. You know? All go back to the Bible days why they hate Israel. And yet God says, I will fight for you. And the same thing that is going to happen very soon. When the next thing that is going to happen will happen, and God will still fight for Israel. Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 16. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant. Now we know what a covenant is. A covenant is what? What's a covenant? It's an agreement. And what's an agreement? It's a vow. An agreement with me, you agree, okay, you sign. That means that's a promise, that's a vow. When you make a covenant, when you make a promise, when you make a vow, you better keep it. Do you understand? Huh? Now Jesus is our husband. We are the one. Is it not? Huh? He's our husband, the bridegroom. He's no longer a bridegroom. He's the bride. He's the husband now. Because we are going to be a wine make ready. That's why we are in the chamber. That's why we are in this kupa. Making ourselves ready as wife. So we can be presented to the Father. So if we love the Lord, don't break this vow. As many people have turned around and rejected Christ, many Christians have done that. Seeing the world problem, they cannot believe that there is God. Huh? The world will destroy itself. We already know that. And America is the greatest culprit, the greatest of evil. Then UK, then Europe. And all the things that they are doing. And all those hatreds from the bottomless pit come out to all those organizations. They just hate others who do not line up with their religious belief. See, we don't force people here. I mean, a faith is a faith. Teach the faith. I teach the faith. What I know is to teach you, guide you. That's what God wants me to do for you. Just to get you, guide you as a shepherd. I don't force you. If you want to misbehave yourself, want to dress unbecoming, you are entitled to it in your own kind of way. But what God looks upon you, how you lift up your Christian life, He's going to keep a record of it. You know. And I always maintain this, and I believe it to be so. When God says, separate yourself from the world, separate yourself from all those traditions, you better separate yourself. To God, anything that is abomination to Him, sin, anything that is religious, that is contrary to His word, is a filthy thing. You know. And that's why how many people is going to be saved? And that's what Jesus said, when I, the Son of Man, return, will I find faith? That's the question. Will I find faith? People say, why not? How many Christians in the world today? Do you really have the faith that Jesus Christ talks about? Or the faith you think you have? Or you talk about? This organization faith, the Methodist faith, the Catholic faith, the Episcopalian faith. God is not interested in those things because those things are an abomination in the eyes of God. And I'm telling you that. For this is what burns in my heart in the days when I came out of the system. And Jeremiah, God showed it to me. You know, I never know about Jeremiah, that he was a young fellow. God, and Jeremiah says, I was just telling him, how can I speak for you? I was just a young man. God said, don't say you are young. I will put words in your mouth to speak for me. And Jeremiah said, the word of God burns within my heart. How many people are convicted to preach that? A few days ago, a few letters came in. And this one man says, you know, but again, he wrote to me and a certain question. And I answered him, matter of factly. And he told me, Brother Gunn, you know, I'm not a Brahmite. I'm not against you. I wrote back a reply. I said, I didn't say you're a Brahmite. I said, in my email, I never say you're a Brahmite. Because when you ask a question, I answer you matter of factly. What the scripture say, not what Brother Brahm said. And he said to me, in reply, he said, Brother Gunn, I have been in this truth for some time. But there are few people like you that can stand up and blast out against all the arrows. It is not a popular thing. And of course it's never a popular thing. What got into Brother Branham's ministry when he blasted out? They call him a woman hater, isn't it? Yes. They call him all kinds of names too. What about Jesus when he came to preach the truth? They call him a Beelzebub, they call him a devil. Truth is never popular. All right, 60. Let's go to 62 now. Verse 62. Oh, sorry, verse 60. Nevertheless, I'll remember my covenant with you in the days of my youth. I will establish unto you an everlasting covenant. Verse 62. And I will establish my covenant with you, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord God, that thou may remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord. God made a covenant with Israel, no matter how. You know, Israel always go through a cycle. Israel does the Lord. Praise the Lord. After a while, Israel backslid. You know, sin against the Lord. You know, then Israel be attacked by the enemy. Then they start crying out to the Lord. And God sent prophets. You know, and they were happy. And then Israel returned back to the Lord again, rejoicing and happy. And after a while, the whole cycle go round and around and around. And until God was so sick of them, and God says, I'm going to scatter you out throughout the whole world. I'll make you up to be captive. So that's why they become prisoner, slave to the Babylonian, to the Assyrian. And yet God pitied them, said, I'll bring you back. They came back, and God gave them the gospel. After a while, they spit at Jesus Christ. Huh? And Jesus will give them a prophecy in Matthew 24. Regarding what? Regarding their scattering. The good tribulation that to come. And so when you see the abomination and make it desolate, stand in the holy ground. As, you know, then he says, you there on a hilltop, don't come back to the city. Just run. You are there in the house, get up. And they suffered in some of the 80. That's when the Roman army came and laid siege to Jerusalem. Destroyed the whole city, destroyed their holy temples. Because Jesus wanted one of these days, this building will not be left standing. Not even one stone lay upon another. And true enough, everything is run down because they took the gold. 70 AD. Now Israel has gone back because God says, I will bring them back. Wherever they are, I will bring them back. And this will be the last time that Israel is going to finally come to realize the truth. And if they refuse it, that's finished. They will be finished. And that will be the last 70th week of Daniel. 7 years for them. Alright, so now, when you see Israel, has God forgotten Israel? No, God says, I will not forget them. Is it not the same thing with the church? The church went through the dark ages. Terrible. Huh? For 1,000 dark years. And even after that, continued another 500. When the Roman Catholic Church ruled the world. How many million died? 60 million people died. Not just Protestants. Gypsies. Ordinary people who were not bound on the Catholic Church. They were tortured. They were burned alive. Nobody can own the Bible. And any person who try to practice medicine, I'll call a witch. Look into history. Terrible. And these history books are not written just by ordinary people. They are written even by priests who later realized the corruption and the evil of the Catholic Church. And after that, what happened? How many people? God led them to die. God allowed these innocent people to die. It seems that God had forgotten. But then God sent Martin Luther. A little one, a little bit at a time. Martin Luther, a priest. A Catholic priest, 12 years. Studied to be a holy priest. He was searching the scripture and then one day God spoke to him. As you know, his own confession. During his penance to go up the step, on his knees, going up there to the shrine of Mary to ask for to go confession. Halfway up, and God says, Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. He got up and he walked down. Well, our priests are walking up on their knees. And that's why he fought against the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church wanted to kill him. As usual, they're always up to that. Even to this day, the Catholic are behind many nations' policy. Even today we know American government is being manipulated by the Catholic behind. Many countries, government, and we have Pope Francis now very active. And you know the visions of Brother Branham. Interestingly, the sixth vision, and the last one, America being destroyed. The sixth vision, he said he saw a beautiful woman arise in America. Whether you be a powerful woman who governs the country or is a Catholic Church, I do not know, because God doesn't tell him that. And I believe more likely that it's a president and it's going to be Hillary Clinton. And this coming November, if she is going to be elected, I don't think it's Donald Trump. He's a madman. Well, what if you're a woman? People say, no, we don't want women for a president. But let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. Book of Revelation, Laodicea. Remember? This is the age of Laodicea. Why is it called Laodicea? Why not called Pergamos or Smyrna? Why called Laodicea? Because it's a woman's name. And the word Laodicea is the name of a woman. It's not a name of a poor woman. It is known in history that you come from a poor family, you will have a daughter, you give birth to a daughter, you can never call the child Laodicea. Because there are standard status there. You can never call your child Laodicea. Only a high class person in those days, give birth to your daughter, can call the daughter Laodicea. It means rights. People's rights. My right. And this is the age of Laodicea. The Bible said that. Look at the world. People's right. Everybody wants their right. And they go around doing all the crazy things out there in the world today. Woman is empowered since the 20th century. Women are coming up. Look at Myanmar, a woman president. Or your prime minister. Is this what's the name of Aung San Suu Kyi? Yeah, she's coming into power. And what we have, Korea or so, wasn't it? Some place, another country. Women are coming up. Already in Germany, you have Merkel's out there. I won't be surprised, because the bigger nation in the world, the most powerful nation in the world, is America. It's the most corrupt. It's time for a woman president. Not only a woman president, a woman vice president as well is coming up. I won't be surprised for that. Because after all, the woman in America want the power. Maybe they vote for her. Even many of them don't like her. I won't be surprised. And what then? When she come in, watch the next one, the seventh one. Because when she comes into power, America is going to be destroyed. How soon are we there? Very close. Let's close and finish it up. Alright. We already read Leviticus 23, 24 that it is a Sabbath. Okay, this feast of trumpet. Let's go to Psalms 81. I want to finish this whole chapter, this whole feast by today. Psalms 81, verse 1 to 3. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord of Jacob. Take a psalm. And being hither the timbrel, the brazen harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, or in the new month, rather, not the new moon, in the time appointed. On our solemn feast. So in the time appointed, there's a appointed time for everything. Remember? And that's why it's so important for us, brothers and sisters. There's a time to work, there's a time to play.
There's a time to fellowship.
Is that right? Sure.
Time to study. Time to spend our time with the Bible. Time to pray. So in this is God's appointed time for Israel. It's going home. Israel is going home to have their rest. Joshua, at this present moment, Israel is never really at rest. They can dwell in peace for the moment, and the next moment you get all the madness that is all around them, trying to destroy Israel. Joshua chapter 6, verse 4. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram horns. This is ram horns, different from the silver trumpet. And the seventh day you shall compass the sea seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. So now Joshua, when they want to claim the promised land, they went in, and they all seven trumpets, seven ram horns, or sofa, blown. Seven, you know, is perfection. Right. So we are coming to the seventh month of Tishri. Israel finally will receive their gospel and have their spiritual rest that which God had promised them. Isaiah 27:13. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which are ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and outcast in the land of Egypt, and they shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Which we know they already gathered there, but as far as being gathered to the word of God is yet to be. So we know the two represents a testimony. Isn't that true? So, as the type of the church, what do we have? This holy book. Yeah, the Old Testament and the New Testament. You cannot do one without the other. You cannot say, I'm taking the Old Testament, just what the Jews are doing. Okay, and they don't want the New Testament. And there are people say, no, we don't need the Old Testament. That's not true. Because that is why we see what is reflected in the mirror. The past and the present. It's all here. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. The starting point and the closing up. So we always need two. So that's what we can see. Always a trumpet. Two testaments. Two prophets that are going to come to Israel. In the day of Tishri. They shall hear that trumpet blown. So two silver trumpets is going to represent also that two prophets. Or two witnesses. What do we see in the book of Zechariah? Book of Zechariah. Okay, Zechariah chapter 4. And we read verse 11. What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and asked him, what shall be these two olive branches which through the golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered unto me, know not that thou what this be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Two witnesses. Now, we know we have a New Testament. That's stand by God's word. Okay? Now, here's as far as Zechariah is concerned, as far as children of Israel is concerned. Israel is always looking for the kingdom of Israel. And there will be two prophets that will come. And they will proclaim the word of God to Israel. You understand that? And God and Christ will tell them what to do. And that's why when they bring forth the miracles, that's what you see in the book of Revelation. When they call the rain to stop, there will be no rain. Right? And things like that, that whatever is going to happen, hails and so on. You know, just like what Moses did in the days when they were out there in Egypt as slaves. Alright, now, let's go and finish all this as fast as I can. Give me time. The Feast of Trumpet will come on the first day of Tishri. And Tishri is the seventh month. And you know what? This particular month of Tishri, what is in that part of the world, it seems to be called the darkest time.
You know, like a Chinese chikwe, you know, a Chinese summer month? Supposed to be called the darkest time, when all demons are let loose, or not demons, souls are let loose, come home and so on, huh? And they have to burn candlesticks, lead the way for their all souls day sort of thing. You know. So, summer month is known to be the darkest time, and the moon is the blackest and the smallest. Will not be true. Because when the tribulation comes, that's the time. When Israel come to receive their true prophet, it will be the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. And the 3.5 years will be a dark time for them. Huh? That will follow after the 3.5 years of false peace. So when the day of the Lord comes, it's always nothing, always called great by people, but it's also a dreadful day. 2 Timothy 3:13. And see whether it corresponds to the church in the modern day. 2 Timothy 3:13. But even men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now this is not talking about even men out there in the world who are sinners. You're talking about things that are happening in the church. Have you seen false prophet, cult leader, how they treat people? How they treat their followers? How they deceive them? And this is what happened. And it's the darkest time. Now today we live, it seems that everything is okay. But spiritually, the church are actually, church general, we say the church. Not the bride, not the real believer. The church itself. Everything looks fine. Isn't it so? Right? You go to a church down the road, 1,000 people. In the Philippines, you go to the Catholic church here in different places. Thousands of people go in and out. Look, like everything is, activities is good. Religious people go burn candles and things like that. But what do the Bible say? We are living in Laodicea age. What do you say? We are neither hot nor cold. The church is lukewarm. And lukewarm is the state where God hates the most. Because God says, if it's cold, you're cold or cold, I know what to do with you. But when you're lukewarm, I just spit you out. I spit you out of my mouth. And I want you to consider this statement that God said. Because you're neither hot nor cold, I'll spew you out of the mouth. What does it mean? When you spit out of the mouth, you land somewhere on the dirt. God is not going to spit onto his hand and take you back. He's going to spit you out. And I want you to think carefully. Because either we know God as our Savior, know him properly, or we think that he's just someone to worship. Oh, praise you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You know. And that's it. That's why Israel treat God like this in the past. When you're happy, everything goes happy, everything is good. When they're in trouble, they'll cry, oh Lord, forgive me, please rescue us. And that's what many of us do. That's what many people normally do when they are religious. They cannot face the fact. Because they don't know the truth. And there are a lot of people are being deceived. Because of being deceived by deceiver. Like Spurgeon said. You know who C.S. Spurgeon is? England, one of the great England preachers. You know, he said what? He said, it is the pastor who is going to feed the pastor is feeding the sheep in the church. That is what we're supposed to see. But there will come a day in the church we will not be seeing that. We'll be seeing clowns entertaining the goats. Clowns entertaining the goats. So people go to church. They are not sheep. They are goats. And the preacher that entertain them. Not telling them black is black, white is black. Sin is sin. No, they won't tell them. They entertain them. And everybody is happy. Go and shake the pastor's hand afterwards. Hello, oh, thank you, nice sermon. Very nice. That's how we live in, brother and sister. Laodicea. And you know what the Bible says? The darkest time before the dawn. And we are living in the darkest time before, but it doesn't look like it. But the whole world politically is in distress. Huh? Everybody's on edge. Look at France, now they're having a football, Euro 2016. Already a trouble. And who are the troublemakers? The British, the white people as well. Not just those terrorists. You won't be surprised there'll be a bomb going off there and ever so often. There you hear it in Europe. But you're also seeing that in Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, Indonesia, Malaysia. Here, we haven't seen it. And we pray we don't see it. Because we have better control. And so, you never know. Philippines, how to have the problem down in Abu Sayyaf and all down in the south. You know what's going to happen in Manila? Huh? Already in Kenya, they have problem already with terrorist cells. For years already. So what? It's everywhere. Alright, Revelation 10. So it's the darkest time before the dawn. So we are looking for the morning star. We are not looking for the evening star. Okay, if people want to have the evening star, they want to stand with him, that's fine. But we are looking for the morning star. Revelation 10:7. God remembers the church. So Revelation 10:7, what does it say? We know that very well. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mission of God should be finished. We're going to close up. Christ is going to close up very soon. Okay, now let's go to Thessalonians chapter 4. And what did the Bible said about the trump? Oh, Thessalonians, we all know very well, right? You all know Thessalonians well enough? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. Huh, we all know very well. For the Lord himself sent descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and that which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever be with the Lord. Amen? We know that. Okay. Hold that in your hand. 1 Corinthians. Corinthians is before Thessalonians. 1 Corinthians 15. 51. And 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's the last trump, right? Now, Corinthians is placed before Thessalonians. Isn't that right in the Bible? But Corinthians, if you read from Genesis forward, all the way to Corinthians, and it says here in the last trump, the day in Christ shall rise first, incorruptible, and we will be changed. Then you go and read later on, the first Thessalonians, it says, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel and the trump of God. Then you find that it doesn't sound a bit right. Why? Because the book of Thessalonians was written first. It should be placed before Corinthians, but it was placed because Thessalonians was written in the year 51 AD, around there, by Paul. And Corinthians was written about 3-4 years later. So, I believe that Paul had the progressive revelation, we would say. He know that the Lord sent Jesus in heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, last trump, and so on. But then he said, later on, he said in Corinthians, he said, in the moment you're doing about the last trump, it's only at the last trump the dead shall rise first, and they which we are alive will be caught together, meet up Christ Jesus in the air. Now as I close, I want to show you something here that if the Lord Jesus come, and if he's going to fulfill all these feasts, the last three feasts, because the next feast that he's going to fulfill has to be the feast of trumpet. You all know that, don't you? Okay? He cannot fulfill the first four. Some people say Christ must return back or will return back on Pentecost. No, he can't return. He can't come back on Pentecost. Because I know that some people believe that. There are people who wrote articles on the internet He said because Christ come back on Pentecost, and then the church must go out also on Pentecost. You understand? But what is fulfilled, you don't go back again to fulfill it. You get it? You understand that? So, say that yet not 4 months, then come with the harvest. 120 days is 4 months later. Then Christ will come and harvest the Jew and gather them. Okay? So before he gathered the Jew, he already is gathered in the Gentile church. Alright? So the Gentile church has to go up, then he goes back to the Jew. For we know that God does not deal with two nations of people at the same time. Do you understand? Okay? So now, if we look at this, I was thinking of the visions and dream of Brother Tony Rahan. Now, according to what he said, the Lord has showed him that the earthquake in California will start on the 26th of May. Now, if it is going to be that accurate, because that's by what he understands from the thing that was going through his mind, what the Lord revealed to him, though the Lord did not speak to him. If it was going to be on the 26th of May, next year. Now next year will be the 69th birth year of Israel. Okay? But this year, November, if Hillary Clinton is going to be voted in, then next year is 69th birthday of Israel. Alright. So if earthquake is going to start on the 26th of May, and you know what, I was just looking at Tishri, and then something hit me. Say you're not 4 months, then come out the harvest. Then I was saying, oops. If May the 26th, is the earthquake start. How far from May the 26th is first of Tishri? And be surprised. Mental calculation, it hits 120. So first of Tishri happened to be 120 days from the 26th of May. So I was wondering, would that be the time? After all, it's 69 years. And what did Jesus say? This nation, this generation shall not pass away until you see all these things be fulfilled. So if you look at a generation of 70 years, 69 years, more than 69 years. Because by the time we come to 2018, it's the 70th year of Israel. There will be a generation, if that is what we're looking at as a generation. So when next year, be the end of the system of this world. Time will tell. If only that God speaks it, that first said the Lord, then everybody will be, yes. But let me tell you something. I believe that slowly, slowly God is going to reveal a little at a time. I believe that we will not be caught unaware. You know why I believe that? Because here was this man, Simeon, and this woman, Anna, they were serving in the temple. They were looking for the coming of the Messiah. Because they know by looking at scriptures, they know the Messiah must be born by now. You understand? So every time Simeon was in the temple, and mother, parents bring the child of 8 days old, to be circumcised. And when he see a child, he carry the bill, and he will recognize to know whether this is the one. So he did this every day, you know, as often as male child are brought in for circumcision. So one day here he was, and Mary came in with the baby Jesus. He said, look at this. And what did he say? He said, now thy servant can go in peace, because I've seen the Messiah. So same thing when Anna came in, while this was going on, Anna prophesied. Regarding Mary, how she will suffer. How did they know? How did you know? You see, I believe God will show. Even as Zechariah and Elizabeth, you know, God used them. And even Zechariah couldn't believe God says, no, you're going to be dumb for a while. So when the time comes when God reveals something, we will know. Nothing is going to be, nothing going to, you know, catch us unaware. Surely, God will reveal everything to us. You understand that? And it will not just be two trumpets being blown. Even the Bible shows us that there's going to be 120 trumpets at times. Sometimes there were 120 trumpets being blown. What's 120? Why is there two trumpets and why there's 120? And why is this seven? Because it falls into the picture that we are living in the 7 days of God's creation, of the seventh church age. 120, it's always a picture of tribulation. Three times probation, 40. Three times probation. A period. Three always means completeness. 40 means probation. You finish it, the third time means everything is over. So 120 days to Tishri. So would it be when the earthquake started out in California and then the war starts? And then 120 days later will come Tishri the first. Today, Brother John said, today is Pentecost. But today's Pentecost is Pentecost Sunday. It's not the real Pentecost. Because they have never really celebrated Pentecost. I have calculated that. Because from Pentecost, the first of Tishri is 120 days. Right? You will never find any year that has that. Between Pentecost and this. Because why? It's all Pentecost Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. Because Pentecost will never always be a Sunday. We know that by the true calendar. That's why because they lost the calendar. Every time you find Pentecost morning day, the first of Tishri, is about 115 days, 114 days. So the real Pentecost, they're not there. But when it comes Tishri, I believe God will know the year of that first Tishri. Will it be next year? I just long for it. Alright? If it's not, then we just wait for another year. And we just continue. For God give us grace. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, O Lord. We pray, Father, that our life be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we are weary, Father. It's been a long, long journey. We know your church has been through a long journey. We know that many have died serving you, Lord. Many have died standing and holding on to the faith in time past. But in the last day, when the world is so corrupt, full of deception and evil and wickedness, and the light is just going out, we know it's the darkest before the dawn. And this is the age we live in. It's so dark. Men are just groping about, Father, trying to find the way. But when they have found it, Father, they don't even want to hold fast to it the way it should be held on to. Rather, they choose to go on their own ways and their own traditions. But you want a people, Father, that is living by your word of truth and holding on to all that which you treasured. Golden treasure. Yes, Lord. In silver box. And you have opened this box and revealed your golden treasure to us, Father. We thank you, Father, Lord. May you continue to grant us grace. May we be find worthy, O Lord, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that our life, Father, will be one that is pleasing unto you. So bless us, Father. Bless those who are not here today too as well. Bless those who travel. Bless those who are on vacation. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to keep and bless us this day in our going out from this hall. be with us and watch over us now. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.